Turn to page 52. pray. For some time now I have felt that my days, not in this world, I don't mean that, I don't know about it, but I felt that my days standing before the people, the brethren, and preaching the everlasting gospel about finished. And I'm afraid. I know that the Lord has been my helper. He has enabled me for these many years now. But it seems to me that I know less by far in the last year or so than I ever thought in days past that I knew. But I know that the Lord's will is done. And I hope that I will be given grace sufficient for whatever the will of the Father is concerning me, because I know that the Father doeth all things right, and it is good. And I'm glad it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Last night, or sometime during the night, a scripture came to my mind, and I thought I would read it, and if the Lord is pleased to open it up to talk from it a while. We hear so much nowadays, as it has been all the while, but we hear more of it now than we've been hearing, at least I do. That people believe, they say they believe, that God is a Father, but he needs some help. And I know that it is because that they feel that they need help, that God needs help, that men all over the world, going here and there and yonder, for the express purpose of gathering people unto the Lord. That's their purpose, that's their desire. But I'm well assured of the fact that as much pleading and other things in that line that they do has never, can never, add one single person to the household of faith. Because God doesn't work that way. God knows and has known from the beginning, because he declared it, that all that he had given to his son before the world began, his son came, he sent his son here to redeem those that he had loved before the world began. And he determined in his own wisdom, power, and glory, that he would send his son here for the express purpose of redeeming these that he had loved and chosen in his son Jesus Christ before the world began. And that their salvation is safe, it's sure, certain. It's not like many people preach today, that God wants everybody to be saved. As a matter of fact, I don't believe he does. Not from the scripture. Because the scripture that came in my mind when Jesus was talking to the other people and his own disciples, and they, of course, didn't believe what he was preaching. And here he said sixth chapter of the Gospel according to John, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Then he follows it with this wonderful and glorious statement of truth: "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me." And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then those who were hearing him speak murmured some more. And Jesus, therefore, answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It makes me sick at heart, my friends and brethren, when I hear broadcast throughout the world things which are directly in opposition to the statement of our Lord and Savior. But now let us look to him in prayer. Lord, thou who knowest the weakness and the needs of thy people, we gather together this morning, we fear to realize that thine appointment, and we're all here according to that will and pleasure which thou didst appoint before the world began. Yes. Dear Lord, the centurion as thou hast made us to realize and to know that thou wast working in him by thy mighty spirit. When his brethren came to him, he said, we're all here before God to hear whatsoever he hath commanded thee. No, Lord, may we fail to realize that we stand in a sacred nearness to thee this morning. That we're here according to thine appointment. We're not here because we have found anything that we thought we could come to the meeting with the folks, the brethren, and help our case along, because we know that we're sinners. We can't do that, but we do know that thou hast put it in our hearts so that we realize that all that thou hast called in thy Son Jesus Christ shall come unto thee. And he that cometh unto thee, thou wilt in no wise cast out. Lord, we have nowhere else to go. Many of those who followed thee for a while and turned back because they could not and did not believe the doctrine, they left, turned away after following our Lord and Savior. And when the apostles did not leave, they stayed there with him. And Jesus said, look, I go away also. Oh Lord, what a wonderful God thou art. That thou hast worked in the hearts of these disciples, the apostles, and caused them to say to thee, when thou didst inquire, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We come this morning, Father, desiring, should it be thy will, that thou would give us liberty to preach thy word, to believe thy word, and to exalt and to praise and lift up thy name above every name that has ever been named. We desire if it could be thy will, O Lord, that thou wilt cause us to realize how frail we are. But what a wonderful and glorious, mighty God that they have in thee, our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we realize full well that hadst thou not chosen us, hadst thou not left it so that thou hadst chosen us and then sent forth thy Spirit into their hearts, into the hearts of every one that thou hadst chosen, so that they are brought by the wonderful working of thy mighty power to realize that they were dead in sins, trespasses, and that wonderful thing that Jesus said to Nicodemus and unto all of the Lord's disciples. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Lord, look upon us with pity and compassion. We are all poor, helpless, weak, dependent creatures. We have no strength of our own. Sometimes we are afraid. Afraid that we have been running and thou hast not sent us. Afraid that those wonderful and glorious things which we have rejoiced in days past are gone. Afraid that we were mistaken in the first place in feeling that it was from thee. But we thank thee, Father, that now and again thou dost send forth thy Spirit and lifts us up so that we one more time can praise and adore thy great mighty name. Lord, if it is thy will to be with us thus this morning, cause that we might remember the way that thou hast brought us. Cause that we might remember the wonderful and glorious manifestation of thy grace, that when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, thou didst quicken us to know that condition and to have arranged it so that in giving thy people that new birth, causing them to be born to thy Spirit, thou dost give to them the knowledge of the truth, that they, all of them, all of thy people, were chosen by thee, our God and their God, before the world began. And thou didst use this matter so wonderful and so glorious in causing them to be born from above, be born again, that they realized that none but the children of God ever have this wonderful and glorious experience, because only those to whom thou hast sent and dost send thy Spirit, they alone realize that salvation unto all the Lord's people is by the grace of that Lord who loved them and gave them his Son to redeem them. Lord, thou knowest the cries of many perhaps in this congregation that go up before thy throne begging thee for mercy, because thou hast made him to know that in me, as the apostle said, that it is in my flesh, that dwells no good thing. O Holy Father, what a blessed God thou art to teach thy people not to leave it to the hands of men, because man cannot teach his neighbor nor his brother, saying, know the Lord. But thou dost send forth thy Spirit into their hearts, bringing them out of darkness into thy marvelous light, giving them hope, yea, hope of eternal life, so that they realize full well that thou, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in their hearts, to give them the light to the knowledge of thy glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, look thou upon, we come trembling, begging, that thou would remember us one more time, that Thou would continue to give us grace because we have experienced many, many times Thy grace and Thy mercy in coming to us who are so helpless, without hope, without any knowledge of the truth that is in Christ, so that we have been made to rejoice and to know full well that Thou hast spoken peace in the hearts of Thy people, poor sinners that they are, so that they desire above everything else to praise, adore, lift up Thy name, higher than any name that has ever been named. Lord, send forth Thy Spirit into our hearts this morning, if it can be Thy will. We are totally dependent upon Thee for everything, whether it is the necessities of life, whether it is, O Lord, our hope of eternal life. We realize that we are dependent upon Thee for everything that we have, so that with Thy servant of old, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Lord, remember us. Thou knowest how frail we are and how weak, how much we need Thy grace. And we're glad that Thou hast promised never to leave us, nor to forsake us. The Lord would be with us even unto the end of the world. Thou knowest Thy people, Father, all of them. Thou knowest what they need. Thou and Thou alone can supply them. We pray Thee, Lord, to forsake us not, because we need Thee. Every hour, every moment of every day we need Thee. Speak peace in the hearts of those who are troubled. Troubled, O Lord, because they have been made to see by Thy Spirit that they are dead sinners, hell-deserving sinners. But Thou hast and dost speak peace unto each and every one of Thy people when the time comes that Thou wouldst enlighten them and cause them to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad. Be with us, Father, not only we who are here this morning, but Thy people everywhere, because Thou hast the people scattered throughout all the earth who are among the teachings of men, telling them what they must do in order for the Lord God to save them. But Thou, Lord, knowest all about it, and when the time comes, even those who stand afar off, Thou shalt send forth them, dost send forth Thy Spirit into their hearts, causing them to know that it is not by the works of righteousness which we do. Be with us, Father. We need Thee every hour. May Thy name have all the praise and the honor and the glory we make for Jesus' sake. Amen. I suppose that I could say the truth that the more trouble I have, more trouble, and I'm concerned more. When I come, I know that it is time to come to stand before the brethren, and I'm made to know that I'm not able, not alone, not capable, but that I'm not able to come before them. Brethren, friends, I have nothing else to preach, nothing to contend for, save those things, if I'm not deceived, 50-some years ago, maybe longer, I was brought to see myself as a sinner, dead in sin, the most wicked one that I knew anything about. But the Lord taught me something, I do believe, and from that day to this, as the Lord has so led me, after a few years when I was in so much deep trouble, that he led me so that I began to tell the brethren how great things the Lord had done for me. And having done it for one of the children of God, He does it for them all. So that's all I have to preach. Just that. Not what I've done. I haven't done anything. That is, well, pleasing, I might say, so far as my flesh is concerned, pleasing in the sight of the Lord. But I do know that I have rejoiced when the Lord has spoken peace in my heart and caused me to thank him, beg of him, to have mercy upon a person. Now I'm concerned, so much concerned, about the doctrine that's been preached, not among our people, but sometimes I'm aware of the fact that it strays over into the camps of Israel too. But I'm glad, my brethren and my friends, that our God has promised, as I mentioned in prayer, and not to leave nor to forsake us, but will be with us all the way, even unto the end of the world, and one place says even unto death. So what a wonderful and glorious promise we have, that this God who has looked upon us with pity and compassion won't leave us. It matters not what kind of troubles we get into. Matters not how much we feel to realize we're unworthy of his notice, and yet he doesn't turn his face against us. No, in some way it's just like I believe I mentioned in the beginning, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Nobody else has that. All the doctors of theology, all the masters in theology, everything that men teach as being the way, the truth, and the life, which they haven't learned from any other source than from themselves, every bit of that is nothing but, shall I use the word, damnable heresy. That's what it is. It's plain speaking, isn't it? But I'm not alone in using that. It's used in the scripture. Damnable heresy. They bring in damnable heresies. And I know, my brethren, that had it been God's will, he would have kept out these heretical things from being preached among the brethren and kept the brethren from worrying about being concerned about what sinners they are in the sight of God. But he wasn't pleased to do that. He's pleased to send forth his Spirit in some wonderful and glorious way so that we are made to realize over and over and over again that we can't take one step without him. Have you ever felt that? Do you feel that? Do you feel that? I know sometimes I'm concerned. We've been on the road yesterday and today quite a bit. And it was a little hard driving yesterday morning. But somehow or the other, I was made to pray that the Lord would lead us and guide us and give us strength and give us a safe journey. But sometimes we forget, don't we? Yeah. Have you sat down to your table, oft times maybe, and see the bounties that the Father hath given you, and they come from him, and you forget to give him thanks? We know the weakness of our flesh by these trials and tribulations. Now the world doesn't know Jesus. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out to the world. Not for the world. And so I read here again. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Then he says, all that the Father hath given me I'm so glad, my brethren, sometimes, that I believe that God, before the world began, because he was the maker and the creator of the world and all the fullness thereof. And even before the time began, he chose his people in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he would send here into this world to suffer, bleed, and die, and make the atonement for those people that he loved in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I don't know why. I have no reason to know why. But it was God's will that men should fall into sin and condemnation, and that his people that he had chosen in Christ before the world began must needs have a redeemer, because they could not redeem themselves from sins and iniquities. Men can't do that. They're telling you, they're telling me, I hear them, you all hear them very often, I suppose, as I do, that all you got to do. Oh yes, they don't give you very much to do, but you have to do something. All that the Father has given me, Jesus said, shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, let us see about that now. All that the Father has given me shall come unto me. It's the Savior here was talking about what his Father had done. And we do well, my brethren. It's a wonderful and glorious thing if the Father sends forth his Spirit into our hearts and makes us to come penitently before him, begging for forgiveness of our sins and to strengthen our hope. Nobody has ever known the love of Jesus Christ. They can't imagine it, really. Many may think they can imagine, put it together somehow or the other, the way that seems to suit them. But nobody knows the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, except the Father has been pleased to send forth his Spirit into the hearts of each one of his people, one at a time, and brings them to that new birth, so that in that experience they know that and have an assurance that though they're so weak and so unprofitable and so unworthy, yet did God love them before the world began. Now, if God has spoken in your heart and given you peace and joy, consolation, it is an evident fact that you were chosen by your Father, the God the Father, and his Son Jesus Christ before the world began. Because there is no overlapping. There's no sending forth the Spirit in the hearts of the Lord's people and some of the lights over here. It simply doesn't do it. Because Jesus said, all that the Father has given me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now I realize that this is a subject that I love to dwell on when I have liberty. But this morning I meant to say before I commenced that I have to make it very brief this morning, because we have planned and found it necessary that we should go a little early down to Black Rock Church to be with the brethren there that have some things that must be taken care of before the all-day meeting next first Sunday. And therefore, I will speak a little while longer, and I hope that the Lord will open it up to you, cause you to think about it, cause you to feel, to realize that, yeah, I know that. I know that's the truth. But let us see. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. It's not just merely the fact that they saw Jesus walking in the country road back there. That wouldn't do. That isn't the seeing he's talking about. But the fact that Jesus reveals in the hearts of poor, unworthy sinners, showing them, convincing them, that they have been loved before the world began by God the Father. And so Jesus said, in spite of all the opposition of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and everybody else back there that opposed Jesus, and you may be sure and certain that everybody did oppose him, except the Lord's people whom he had sent forth his Spirit into their hearts. And then Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, they shall. Aren't you glad of the shalls and the wills of our Father? All that the Father has given me, they shall come unto me. They shall do it. Yes. God has put the shalls and the wills in the pathway that his people saw, that they know that God is in dealing with his people. He sent forth his law in their hearts to condemn them, not to give them the ways of working out their salvation. As many people believe that the law of Moses was given for that purpose, that the people, by obeying, as they said, and doing the things that they think well-pleasing in the sight of God, will bring them into heaven and water glory. But as a matter of fact, my friends and brethren, the law did not enter. The law was not given. God had no reason, no purpose in giving the law as a means whereby sinners could, by keeping the law, redeem themselves. It can't be done. But he sent the law into the hearts, and so many people who are supposed to be Christians and so forth, they believe that the law was given as a means whereby they could be saved. But the Apostle Paul said, I was alive once without that law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's the purpose. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So the law in its purity is established in the hearts of the Lord's people while they're sinners in the bringing them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. He brings them to preparing them to receive that wonderful and glorious manifestation. Except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Now the world today is just as full of born again people. You can think about it. They come and sit at the White House and he goes all the way down. I don't know where all he goes to. I hope that many of them are really have been born again. That really in the Spirit of God have been born again. But I tell you, my brethren, there's nobody, never has been a child of God yet, that went out into the commons, went out into the congregation of men, and bragged about that I've been born again. Never has been a one of them. If he sometimes says that he's been born again, and in reality he has, and he's boasted about it, God knows how to send his Spirit into his heart and condemns him. And he'll go away weeping. That's what they do. This is out of God. So Jesus said, all that the Father give me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me out of him no wise cast out. Think about those people who today are preaching that the Lord requires each one of us to do something. And if we do that, why, all is well, we'll be saved. But then, after you're saved, they said, you've got to be so careful. You have to be so careful to do the things, always do the things. Else you might lose that new birth, if it could be called that. Else you could fall from grace. Oh, what a misnomer, falling from grace. Nobody's ever fallen from grace. God keeps his people. Jesus keeps his people. And they don't fall from grace. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hands, Jesus said. How true it is. It just can't be done. But they would tell you that you have to be careful. Yes, you have to be careful. Although you may have once been born again, if you don't live in such a way that you can take hold of that and keep it, you're going to be lost. Jesus said, here, did he not? He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you suppose, I'll give you something to think about. I haven't thought about it before this morning, that is for a long time. The Lord's people are just as much sinners today in their flesh as they were before the world began. And the Lord knows all those things, and he sends forth his Spirit into the hearts. And when they have something or other that is we wouldn't appreciate saying, maybe using some foul language or whatever it might be, do you suppose that would cause that Jesus would not forgive one that he loved, one that he died for? Do you suppose that one would die and go to hell? No. He said, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. So, my brethren, this is a work of God, that we believe on him. I know, and every one of you, I have an idea, will say, I will sometimes say a thing, do things, that I'm ashamed of. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Well, that won't cause you if you're a child of God. That won't cause you to die and go to hell. No, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And here, over here, just a little bit further, he says, no man can come unto me. Now, this is another text that the world just rejoices in because they take the opposite view of it. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Yes? No man can come. 1,000 men may get up at the call of these ones who profess to be preaching the truth. They may get up and go down and say, I accept. One of them said the other night, say, Lord, I accept thee. What does that mean? Poor, hell-deserving sinner saying to the Lord, I accept thee, Lord. That isn't what we want to know, is it? We want to have the evidence in our hearts, and the Lord gives us evidences sometimes to know that he has looked upon us with pity and compassion. Not that we have to do something to please him in a way of purchasing blessings at all, but he loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he draws us. Yes. No man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. I looked at these things. Maybe I shouldn't do it. I'm concerned about them sometimes. But I've wondered sometimes when I've seen the people stirring up. Early this morning, I turned the radio television on, and the man was up there weeping, crying, and I went in before him, working on the hearts of those people there, getting them to cry and to be afraid of going to hell. Yes, nothing like that, my brother. They want to scare you to death. They want to scare you in such a way that you will be careful and will come and join the church and believe and say, Lord, I accept thee. I don't believe that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, has ever, under the excitement of the moment like they have, ever had believed the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, my brethren, these are two sacred things. Too sacred for us to deal with lightly. Only to deal with them is the Lord gives us grace, and to beg of him to forgive our sins, which we realize are many. And he said, peace, peace, be still. Brethren, friends, I know that there's so much included in this ninth chapter of John, now the sixth chapter of John, and I won't have time, even if I had thoughts about it, to bring it out. But I'm going to leave it right there and ask you, if you think about it, I hope you will think about it, to read what Jesus said here concerning these that the Father had given him, and that to come to him, brought to him by the work of the Spirit of God in their hearts, and not promising them to reward them for doing certain things. No, not that. God doesn't pay us for belief. He sends his Spirit in the hearts of those who have absolutely nothing to pay with. They haven't anything to pay with. But that doesn't keep him from sending his Spirit into the hearts of those that he chose before the world began. I'm sure you agree with that. Oh no, our God is such a wonderful God. Now my brethren, I stumbled along, and I've given you some things to think about. No question about it. I hope the Lord will lead you along in this way, and cause that you will look towards Rock Springs. Not that there's anything special here in this building, but remember the time that the Lord has sent forth his Spirit into the hearts of the people who've been gathering here for these many years. Yes, don't you have a peculiar feeling for the Lord's people who profess to believe, who believe the doctrine of God our Savior, and you have a love for them? Yes, you have a love for them, because you have the same love and your heart for them. May the Lord be with you. After that, the Lord willing. Now, I want to remind you that next first Sunday is the all-day meeting time at Black Rock. And we always love for the brethren and friends to come. And we hope you will like to come, and will come. I've asked, not this time, nothing been said about it yet, that you dismiss your meeting here and go to Black Rock to be with the brethren. How do you feel about it? I'm glad to hear that.
I do wish to say that in regards to the fifth Sunday in July, we ought to make some sort of decision as far as Rock Springs is concerned now on that. The little associational meeting is now last July on the fifth Sunday. I understand Elder Poole only has the fifth Sunday in July as a free date to be present there.
Well, I don't have a free date. I go to New Valley Church on the fifth Sunday, and that's the only Sunday we go, fifth Sundays in the year. And sometimes, especially this last winter, we had to miss them on account of the weather and the illness and so forth. So I'll have to think about that a little bit, and we have such few.
Come down at you all.
Mm-hmm.
There's many. Brother something, Brother Charles. I think Elder Poole was tied up this Sunday. They're having a meeting down on the shore somewhere on this Sunday. At his church.
That's in July. This is, you got a couple of months then.
Did they have the meeting on Saturday before or Sunday? Which one?
Sunday.
On Sunday.
Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Well, if Elder Poole has, and those brethren have another announced meeting on that Sunday, I'm sure there can't be both places.
Brother Francis, have anything to say about the Welsh track on the matter?
Oh yes, he should have. Do you know whether what's been decided, brother?
No, I knew 2 or 3 months ago that Elder Poole had a free day that time. I have heard that.
He had a free day that time. They made a public announcement of it, so I guess you can't say. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Is it satisfactory with all of you brethren and sisters from here, this church, to come down to Black Rock next first Sunday for the all-day meeting? You've been doing that, and we have enjoyed and appreciate you coming. And Brother Charles seemed to think that it would be all right. Y'all would go come as you've been coming. Anybody have anything to say about that? Well, I know. And another thing I don't like about it is the fact that, as you know, in August I have years now joined the Faith River Association. Until Sunday.
You know, there's one thing that was not being controversial, which I don't want to be, but there's one thing that kind of puzzles me about it. We've always gone there the first Sunday when there really is no church there. And it's like we're going there all the time. Maybe they only switch it once in a while.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, the matters that we wanted. We plan to take up today in the matter of the trustees, in the matter of changing the article of, what do we call that? The article of
Constitution.
Yes, article of the Constitution. We want to do that and try to do that. It's underway, and today we hope a lot of the brethren and sisters and friends are coming down, we understand. And we hope to get that through. And then maybe, I can't speak for the church, maybe we can, you know, make the appointment here sometime. Pay you back for coming.
Right. There really isn't any church there, is
there? Well, let's not talk about that. We have a deacon, we have a clerk. We have a pastor that's been there for 25 years, more than that. Now, I know we have no members. I know
that's what I mean.
Yeah, I know that's what you mean. But I believe, my feeling is that it'd be perfectly proper, and although I haven't talked to the church about it, perfectly proper that we go ahead, when we get this matter straightened out, go ahead and receive members into that church when they come, telling what the Lord's done for them, because we have the same organization that we had before, the deacon, the clerk, pastor, and I see no objection. I don't think any brother anywhere would see any objection to going ahead and receiving the members under those conditions. Insisting, of course, that any that we might receive shall be those who tell and give an account of the reason of the hope and all of those things. I tell you, my brethren, these are serious things, because I know that maybe I have been a little bit too stiff on the matter, but I can't help it, because there are those that I have known that have come in the churches over the last many years, not many, but one or two or three or four, that have caused trouble because they didn't believe the doctrine. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So, the Lord willing, I understand you'd say you will come to the Black Rock meeting. No, you don't have a meeting here then. Tell them.
Well, if some fail not to go to Black Rock, there would be no objection to have a meeting here.
We don't have any way that we don't have any ministry.
Any what?
We don't have any ministry.
No, I understand that.
The brethren can meet any place at all.
Oh, yes. Well, the main thing is that the Lord had put it in the hearts of those Berean brothers to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Now, so many of us, I'm sure, we just take, some of you would take what I say here without even being concerned about what the scripture says. That isn't right. Because I could be wrong sometimes, of course. Probably have been wrong many times. But may the Lord keep us. And we'll make the announcement, because the time's getting short now. We'll make the announcement then. You will not have a meeting here next first Sunday, but hope the Lord willing to come, somebody at least, to come down to Black Rock Church. Now, is anything else? All right. Let's sing a hymn. If you have a short hymn. Stand. What page is that on?
I don't know.
Page 198. Let us stand and sing. While we sing, we're not an open door for the reception of members. Keep us. in our life's journey. Keep us in the love and the fellowship of thy people. Enable us to worship thee and to exalt and to praise thy great and holy name. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen.